If you have your Bibles this morning, let's begin in two passages. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Genesis chapter number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Genesis chapter number 1. Many times as a preacher of the gospel of Christ, and many preachers we have in the room, you know that God will put a message on your heart way before He gives you the permission to preach it. We understand as pastors and preachers that sometimes God gives you a message and He works on you about it. Such is the case today that God put this message on my heart many weeks ago. And I've been thinking about it and waking up in the night and just looking through the concordance and the Bible and just letting God speak to me. I did not know, but Brother Rod was supposed to sing a couple of weeks ago and he was going to sing that song. For whatever reason, God allowed him not to be able to do that. I think he got sick or something. And God just put it all together. I beg you to listen today. I believe I'm preaching a message that you either will need in this moment or you are going to need soon in your life. I believe that the theme of the message today really will determine the blessing of your life, the joy of your life, the understanding of what God is doing in your life and how God is working in your life. I thought I was preaching a message today just to believers, but we've already had two people saved. So I will not say that. I will just say I'm preaching a message that God wants me to preach. He can use it however He wants to use it. But I want to preach today on the seasons of life. Find, if you would, in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you believe that verse, would you say amen? We do believe in creationism. We do believe that all things were made by God. They were made by the Lord Jesus. They were made by Him, for Him. By Him, all things exist. If you were to read Genesis chapter 1, you know that this is how the world was created. I know that there are so-called scholars that want to deny the authority of the Word of God and deny creationism and teach evolution or teach something else according to how the Bible relates to it. But my friend, the Bible, the world was created by God. Look, if you would, down at verse number 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for, here's our word, seasons, and for days and years. Not only did God create the world, but God created the order in which the world would operate. God created the atoms and the molecules, and God created how the earth would function and the tilt and the galaxies. And God didn't just create a world and then turn it to run on its own. He also created the order and the discipline and the function of that world. Part of the creation process and part of that which is created is something we call seasons. And by the way, let me just, for your understanding, sometimes on Sunday mornings I got to fix understanding because our world preaches to you 6 days a week and I only get you for 30 minutes. Mother Nature. Let's be real clear about the words Mother Nature. Understand that Mother Nature did not create, does not continue, nor does Mother Nature even exist when it comes to the creation of God. I hope you do not use the words Mother Nature because you will not find the words Mother Nature in the Bible. I hope you understand that if you believe in Mother Nature, you deny the God, the Creator. You see, the earth was not created by a mother. The earth was created by God the Father. Amen. By God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Do not be a believer or a Christian and speak and let the words Mother Nature. Well, Pastor, you understand what Mother Nature will do or how Mother Nature will treat us. Listen, Mother Nature does not exist. The Word of God exists. That was free and extra. There's more to come. We find that God created seasons. Now, in South Florida, we're not very familiar with this word of seasons. But we understand that our year is divided up into four seasons. We understand there's a winter and a spring and a summer and a fall. We know what a season is. God created natural seasons in Genesis chapter 1. Go, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. I want to show you this. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and verse number 1. To everything there is, say it, class, a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. So we've got the word season here mentioned in two different applications. The word season is actually a time that is set apart. It's a specific time. And we find natural seasons mentioned in Genesis chapter number 1. But we also find life seasons mentioned in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. And the same way that you have natural seasons divided and different in their approach, you also have life seasons that are separate and distinct and come at us and are used by God. And understanding the natural season is vital and important to our earth. It's vital and important to our food. It's vital and important to our understanding. It's vital and important to our enjoyment, to our blessing. To negate the natural seasons would be a great shame and dishonor to yourself. But I want you to understand something. To not understand the seasons of life, special and unique seasons that a believer goes through or that God uses in our lives is extremely dangerous. And I am finding that many people are holding a negative view and missing out on the blessing of God because they have not learned how to study and evaluate and receive the seasons of life that they go through. And so it prevents them or stunts them from growing in the knowledge of grace in the Lord and in strength of the Lord. And we don't understand the value it is to our spiritual lives. I want to ask you a question. If you had one word, and I'm only giving you one word right now to describe the attitude or the emotion or the recognition or the feeling of your life, what would it be? If you had to come to the pulpit right now and say, my name is, and I would say that right now the one word that would define my life would be, I wonder what it would be in your life. Some people may say, Pastor, if I had to come right now and define my life in one word, I'd use the word mess. Some people may use the word confusion, pain, discouragement, heaviness. Not your weight, your emotional heaviness. Misunderstanding. Separation. Some may say love, peace, joy, gratitude. Pastor, if I had to define my life right now, loss. I lost everything. Rejection, Pastor. I just sense right now in my life that if I had to define my life right now, this one word. Do you have your word? If you do, say amen. If you don't have your word, you need to take a moment and find your word. Because it doesn't do you any good to come to church and not participate. Okay? How would I define my life, Pastor? that one word that you're defining in your life right now is probably a season. And your understanding of what you are going through right now is paramount to your survival as a Christian. We find a couple of things about seasons that I want to talk to you about today. We find in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 14, I read it to you. We find in Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 21. And we find in Psalm 74 verse number 17 that seasons are and were created by God. God created natural seasons for our world and our environment and the order of His creation. But God, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1, He will also create spiritual seasons or life seasons in you. The same power that God created the natural seasons is the same way that God will create seasons in our life. And you must understand that God is constantly creating these things in our lives. I want you to understand something, that God is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every minute, every second, every nanosecond is God concentrated on you. See, we think God's worried about Israel and Syria, and Israel's bombing them and pushing on them, and we think that God's so concentrated on this, or God's concentrated on the 2014 election, or God's concentrated on Iran, or God's got to be concentrated on the food supply and the water supply, and God's concentrated on the market, and God's concentrated on Russia, or he's concentrated on the Muslims, or he's concentrated in Boston, and we think, well, God is tied up, so God's not concentrated on me. Let me tell you something. We serve an omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, immutable God, in God's people said. So God is concentrated on those things, but God is concentrated on you. He knows that word you use to describe your life. He knows what you have come through the last 7 days. He knows your fear. He knows your thoughts. He knows your makeup. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you deep down in your inner man. He created you, and He is constantly involved in your life. And He will create seasons. Set aside appointed times in your life. Why would He do that? Why would He do that? Well, we find that in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28, that all things work together for our good. Can somebody tell me the one word when creation was done in Genesis chapter 1, and God looked at everything that He had created, what was the one word God used to describe His creation? It is good. Good. And He created it, and He stepped back and He said, it is good. There is times, Christian believer, apart from your sin, apart from any act that you've done to get yourself in some consequential position, that God, in His own sovereignty, in His own wisdom, in His own love, in His own power, will begin to create in your life a season. And He will create this season for your good. We were described some of these seasons in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Look at verse number 2. There's 14 opposites here. And the Psalm and Solomon is writing, and he says, these are some of the seasons of life that people go through. Verse number 2, there's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. There's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. There's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to get. There's a time to lose. I think that's a verse for the stock market. There's a time to keep. There's a time to cast away. There's a time to rend. and a time to sow. There's a time to keep silence. There's a time to speak. There's a time to love. There's a time to hate. There's a time of war. And there's a time of peace. Solomon is teaching us that as humans, we go through the seasons of life. Now, some of you are in this room today right now, and you are in the middle of a season. You're in the weeping season. Some of you are in the celebration season. Some of you have celebrating births, and some have had to bury, and you've celebrated the death. Some have planted, and some are harvesting, and some are in the middle of love, and some are responding to hate, and some there's joy, and others there's heaviness, Pastor, and I'm in the middle of this season. But listen, God creates these seasons in our lives. And He creates these things in our lives for our good. And look down at verse number 11. He hath made everything, say that word, beautiful. Here's our problem. And here's where the highway of church members is littered with people who have not survived this. God will take you and God will create a season in your life. It could be a season of joy or it could be a season of loss. And He does it out of a heart that He wants to work out His good upon you. And He does it because He wants to work out beauty in your life. The problem is you have something called perception. And when God creates a season in our life, we allow our human perception to take over. And we come at it with, how dare you? How dare you? I was saved. I left that. I give this. I do this. How dare you do this to me? How dare you put this in my life? How dare you make me lose this? How don't you know how precious this was? Don't you see that cannot be used for good? And so what happens is most of the time, God will move upon our life and He will create a season in our life and He will create it from the goodness of His heart. He will create it with beauty in mind. And our human perception says, how dare you? Let me tell you something. He's a loving God. And many of God's people never survive the season because they let their human perception get in the way. They don't ever fall on their face and say, now, God, what wisdom? I need wisdom. Help me, God, to know what is going on. What do you want to do? How do you want to use this in my life? I need you to understand something today. God will create seasons in your life. And you better understand that. Not everything that happens bad to you is because of the devil. Did you hear your preacher? Not everything that happens bad to you is because of the devil. Number one, you and I can't even really determine what's good and bad for our lives. God knows. So God works a season where God allows you to lose your job or you suffer loss. How dare you? And God says, oh, no, 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 no. Can't you see? I'm working this out for your good. Can't you see? I'm going to make this thing's going to be beautiful in time. How dare you? No, no, no. Don't you understand that I'm creating this? Or sometimes we think, well, the devil has done this in my life. The devil's caused me this problem. The devil's caused me this pain. And so instead of yielding to the will of God and surrender, we dig our heels in thinking the devil's coming at us. That's why when you go through a season in your life and it's not because of some sin you have done, but you find yourself in this season, you've got to fall on your face. You've got to get in the book. You've got to say, God, give me wisdom. God, what are you doing here? God, did you create this? Lord, I want to be honest with you. I want to walk in this. I don't want my own perception. And we got to fall on our face before God. But we don't do that. We think if anything bad happens in our life, it has to be of the devil. No, God creates a season in your life. Second thing I want you to know about seasons, not only that they're created by God, but I want you to understand, look at verse number 1 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season and a time to every, what's that word? Purpose. Go if you would to Genesis chapter 8. I want you to see this word because this is going to help you with your global warming understanding. If we fix Mother Nature, we got to fix global warming. Pastor, do you believe in global warming? I do. One day God's going to renovate this earth with fire and it's going to be real warm. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not, what class? Cease. So the next time somebody gets on and says, hey, listen, we're not going to have winter anymore in the polars and our polar bears, the ice is going to go away and the bears aren't going to have anything to do. And down here, the climate is just changing and all this, and we're not going to have this anymore. No, the Bible says as long as it is, there'll be those things. And I'm going to trust the Bible more than I'm going to trust some fool. They'll help you with your global warming. If you find a verse different, you come to me with a verse. But don't come to me with some commentator or some degreed man. Let's come on the authority of God's word. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. You see, there's a purpose and a necessariness for seasons. There's a purpose for the cold. It kills all the bad stuff. And the heat helps for the crops to grow. And summer and winter, they work in tandem and day and night. And it's all working on that seed time and that harvest for the order of the system. And so seasons are purposeful and they're necessary. Go, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 1. You got to see this verse because you won't understand what God's doing in your life. Why seasons in your life are purpose and necessary. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look, if you would, at verse 6. The Bible says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your, what's that word, class? Faith. Being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So there is a, when it comes to the seasons of our life, God will create those seasons. He creates them out of His goodness and for our good. He creates them with beauty in mind, and then He creates them in a purposeful manner. Now I want you to know something. God will create things in your life to try your faith. Why? Why would He do that, Pastor? Well, let's see. You quote the verse with me. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, nobody in this room has ever reached a pinnacle where God says, you made it. You're there. Took you a long time, but you got here. Man, I'm proud of you, Tom. I'm proud of you. Look how well you have done. You know, I think I'm just going to leave you right there. I'm going to kind of just nestle you in, tuck you in. I'm going to plant green grass all around you. I'm going to put a little light white picket fence right there. And Tom, you're just going to stay right there just like that till I come. We think that to be foolish, but we kind of live with an understanding of maybe that would happen. See, God never gets us to a place where He's not trying our faith. And so God will create seasons in your life to try your faith, to build your faith. He will create those seasons so He can be glorified in you and through you. He will build those seasons so He can be pleased. And so God will come and give you a season of great peace and joy to exalt and to help you in your faith and grow. At the same time, He'll send you a great season of heartache and loss and suffering, and so that you can grow, and He's always trying your faith. Very difficult when our faith is tried. But that's what God will do in our lives. Seasons are necessary. They're purposeful. So that word that you're using to describe your life right now, do you remember that word? Help the preacher. Do you remember that word? That season or that word God is using to try your faith. Try your faith. Now, not only are seasons created by God, not only are they purposeful and they're necessary, but I want you to understand something. They're temporary. They're temporary. My dad used to tell me, Tom, your present condition is not your final condition. So many of God's people get destroyed right here because God will send you a season And He will create in your life a season where He is coming at it from a vantage point of your good, beauty, trying your faith, that it be precious and pleasing to Him. And we kind of look at it from our perspective, and we say, wow, I don't want this. If this is life, then no, I give up, I quit. And we forget that seasons are temporary. Let me read you a verse in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse number 20. You don't have to turn, I'll read it. The Bible says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. What was Jeremiah saying? He's saying that that seasons have a beginning and they have an end, and they're temporary. And then you go into the next season. And so God will send you things in your life, people, and it will be temporary. There will be a beginning, but there will be an end. And God knows the beginning from the end. And God knows what He wants to do in your life and where He wants to take you in your life. And God is looking to bless you and to lift you. But most of God's people, we get in the middle of that thing and we don't see any way out. And so we just quit. We think, well, God, that's just more than I can bear. Let me tell you something. Only God knows what you can bear. You better hear that again. Even you don't know what you can bear. You don't know your heart. You don't know your ability. But God does. And so God, in that love, in that wisdom, in that goodness, in that glory, He will create a season in your life. He's got a beginning. He's got an end date. And the beginning maybe seem difficult, but at the end there's rejoicing. But I'm telling you, the highway of our churches is just littered with people who in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9 said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we continue in a season that we will reap and not faint. And God's people are fainting everywhere. We're fainting under the pressure. We're fainting under the season. We're fainting. And really and truthfully, the reason we faint is because we get so pessimistic. Listen, the Bible says that God is for us. He's for you. Pastor, I lost my job. God's trying to kill me. No, He's not. Pastor, I lost my spouse. God's trying to kill me. No, He's not. Pastor, I lost all my investments. God's trying to kill me. Let me tell you something. God killed one person for you, and that was His Son. The Bible said, He that gave His own Son, how shall He not freely give us all things? God's not trying to kill you. He loves you. But He will create times in your life. Seasons. Pastor, man, it seems like over the last 6 months, bang, 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 bang has happened. You're in a season. Man, Pastor, last couple of weeks, it just seems everywhere I turn, I'm running into. You're in a season. Man, Pastor, if I get one more piece of bad news, you're in a season. And there is an end to all seasons. Aren't you glad that our God is eternal? Aren't you glad that He knows the future? Aren't you glad that He's already been down the road? Aren't you glad that the shepherd is in front of us? Aren't you glad that you don't have to know the end? You trust the shepherd. And He says, I've created this in your life. Now, come on, let me lead you through this and let me bring you over here. But man, God's people are just fainting and giving up and so pessimistic and fatalistic in our viewpoint. It's time that we stand upon the Word of God. So what season are you in? Seasons are created by God, church, and you better understand that. Pastor, I'm sick. It seems like I've had one illness after another. You're in a season. They're created for our good. They're created with purpose. They're necessary. It's the same as a natural season is necessary for the order of the earth. It's necessary for our faith to be tried. They're temporary. They're temporary. And then I wrote this down. Seasons are what you make them out to be. I grew up in Michigan. In northern Michigan, we averaged 220 inches of snow a year. I remember them shoveling the driveway with tractors. I remember, I'm not lying, that the snow would be as high as that railing up there when they were done. I remember going outside and playing King of the Mountain. And buddy, let me tell you, it was awesome. We used to kick Amy down that hill as hard as we could. and my brother and I, we ruled the mountain. I remember that we would dig tunnels through those things. But in northern Michigan, it gets cold, brother. It gets freezing cold. And we would get bored, and it would get dark at 4:30. The suicide rate is unbelievable in northern Michigan in the wintertime because you didn't see the sun for months. And let me tell you, you don't understand the emotional blessing it is to know the sunshine. Pastor, I'm kind of just, I feel blah. If you feel blah, take your Bible and go down to the beach. I mean that. Go down, put your binoculars on so all you can see is your Bible. Blindfolders. Did I say binoculars? Don't put binoculars on. Strike that from the record. Blinders. Put blinders on. True. Lord, help me. Let the sun beat on your body a little bit. Pastor, you can get cancer that way. Yeah, well, you can get cancer a lot of ways. You need the sunshine. So my brother and I, we'd get bored out of our mind. And my dad would say, now, boys, you can either be bored or you can go enjoy it. So, you know what we did? My dad got us toys to enjoy the winter. He got us a snowmobile. That was dangerous. We went skiing. We used to go ice fishing. I can remember getting ready to go outside. I'd have to sit down, put on my long underwear. You don't know what that is. And thank God that you don't know what long underwear is. And we would have to, we would put our jeans on, and then we put our flannel shirts on, and then we'd have to put on our one pair of socks, and then you'd fold those jeans over, and you'd put on those winter socks, and then you'd get into your snow pants, and then you'd put your boots on and zip down over your those, and you'd put your suspenders on, and then you'd put your jackets on, and then you'd get it all over, and you'd zip it up, and then you'd put your hat on, and then you'd put your gloves on, and then your mom would have to tie your scarf, and by it was all time, you had to go to the bathroom, so you had to redo it all. Miserable. But you had to get out there and enjoy it. By the way, we have to do the same in South Florida. We're not all of us are blessed to be snowbirds. So we got to stay. They tell me when I go home to Michigan, oh, I could never live down there because of the heat. Sure you could. First thing you do is you buy you some shorts. Buy you some flip-flops. You understand that you go from air conditioner to air conditioner. You understand that if you're going to enjoy the summer, you're going to have to get wet. You're going to need a pool. You're going to need the ocean. You're going to need some kind of water. You're going to need maybe a boat to go fishing in, or maybe like to do some things. And so you begin to buy toys or get things to help you survive the season, because you can either let the season be a blessing or you can let it destroy you. But church, it's the same thing with God. He creates seasons in our lives. It's up to you to either be blessed or destroyed. You can either enjoy them and get out and live in it and say, I'm going to surrender to you, or you can let it destroy you. But it's what you do with it. It's what you do with it. It's what you do with it. I know this. I'm glad that the Bible said that God said he would never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. So what season does God have you in? You better understand. He'll create it. It will come from his heart of good. It will come because he loves you. It will come in his mind and his heart with beauty. And it will come with purpose and necessary to try your faith, to know his joy, his power, his love, his blessing. Oh, it'll be temporary. What are you going to do? Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Okay, God, you got me in the season. What do you want? God, my perception's been so wrong. But I want to be still. I want to be speechless. And I want you to perform in me what you started out. So I yield, God. I yield. Because I love you and I know you love me. Maybe God's smitten you with a season, smitten your heart today. Why don't you yield to Him? I promise you, you can trust Him. Amen? Stop fighting. Change your perception. How dare you to, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. All things work together for good. Shall we pray?